Well, it's really good to see you all here this morning. And I just want to give a shout out. I don't do this often enough to everybody who's listening online. We know we've got people that are out of town and we've got people that may be homesick. Or this happens, I hear about this actually here recently, that somebody's maybe sent you a link and that's why you're listening online. So we're glad that you're here with us, maybe not in person, but in spirit here today. And I don't know about you, but I just love the amazing growth that we're experiencing here at the church. And it's not just like here in this room, even though we've got that, but also our growing online presence. And so I just want to encourage you that if you're ever out of town or you're sick or anything like that, that you can log on to our website and catch the message that you miss. Well, I want to officially welcome each of us to week number 4, really, of our series called A Controlled Burn. And I've mentioned this almost every single week, that I don't view this series as having 4 different messages, but I view this series, A Controlled Burn, as one message broken up into 4 different installments. So today is the finale, part number 4 of this series. And if you're taking notes, you should jot this down because this is my title, Catching Fire. You can jot that down, Catching Fire. And I want to preface the message before we pray and before I jump in with this, that normally the way that I roll around here, okay, the way that I preach, my preaching style, normally, whether it's topical or not, is we'll look at one passage, one chunk of scripture, and then we'll walk through it verse by verse. That's exegetical preaching, and that's my style. This series has been a little bit different because we're talking about who the Holy Spirit is. And so on purpose, we've been looking at each and every single week multiple places throughout the Bible. That way you know that the Holy Spirit is not just in some random obscure passage in some small book in the Bible, but from cover to cover, we see who the Holy Spirit is and his operation in our life. So just like it's been each and every single week, I'm going to preach from many different texts today, okay? Many different places in the Bible. So some of them you'll have time to turn there and others you will not. In fact, I've got so much Bible to read again today that I'm going to give you a lot of references. Won't have time to turn there, but I'm going to encourage you on your own time to turn there. I'm going to give you the reference. So please don't just take my word for it, but write that reference down today if we don't read it together, and you can read it on your own this week. But I want you, if you would you bow your heads with me and let's pray to ready our hearts. God, we love you and I'm so thankful for what you're doing in this house. So thankful for what you're doing in us. And I just pray, really, the culmination of this series today, I just pray for each of us, even if this is our first time and we're jumping in at the finale, I pray for us, God, that you would open up our ears to hear what you have to say, that you'd open up our eyes, not our physical, natural eyes, but our spiritual eyes to see what you want us to see. And I just pray, God, that you would move in us and amongst us today. I pray, God, that whether we've been a Christian for a long time or we're not even a Christian, but we're listening today, I pray for each and every single person that each of us would be changed, not because of a man, not because of a pastor or a series or anything like that, but we'd be changed because you, a loving and real God, wants to come in and meet with us right where we're at. So Holy Spirit, speak because of me and in spite of me, I pray. May we all leave this place, or may we all click pause listening online being changed because of what you did on the inside. We love you. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. In this series, we've been talking a lot about power. That's been one of our themes, power and space travel, really. And with that theme of power, I want to ask you a question today. And I know we don't like that when pastors ask us questions and we have to respond. But if you want to play along, you can. If you don't, that's okay too. But you can play along with this question by using those appendages that are on either side of your body, your arms. Okay, so you can use those to play along if you like. But I want to ask you a question to get us started. Have you ever experienced something so powerful that it brought a sense of awe? Like, have you ever experienced something just like that, okay? Something that just, it changed things. Maybe it changed your perception. Maybe it changed how you viewed life in general, like a powerful thing that you were changed after experiencing it. And if you haven't experienced something like that, hopefully you will many times in your life. But I wrote down a few powerful moments that I've experienced, most of these at least. The first one I wrote down is this, the birth of a baby. It's a powerful moment. My wife's blessed me with a lot of things, but the two best blessings are our two kids, and that was a powerful moment for me, our son being born and our daughter. I wrote down another one, a flyby by a fighter jet. Have you experienced that at a stadium before? Like, that changes things. That's a powerful, powerful display. I wrote down another one. I've experienced this firsthand, but being near a wildfire, it's a lot of power. Now, it's one thing watching it on the news, but actually being there in person. I shared about this during the series, how I had to go around a wildfire to propose to my now wife. And so when you're around something like that, it's a sense of power, of awe. I wrote this down. Many of you will relate to this, but being caught in a storm like Hurricane Harvey. Something so much bigger than us. That's a powerful moment. This last one I haven't experienced, but I'd like to in a controlled setting. But the roar of a lion, to experience that in person, hopefully on safari and not because of a different situation. But I've heard that's a powerful moment to experience in person. I found out recently that one of the most powerful machines that man has ever made is the Saturn V rocket. One of the most powerful machines we've ever made. The year was 1967, and there's been somewhere around 13 of these Saturn V rockets that have actually flown. They've taken flight. Let me explain to you how powerful this machine is. We're talking 7.5 million pounds of thrust, burning 15,000 gallons of fuel a second. You thought you got bad gas mileage, okay? Not very good. Let me put that in easier terms. When it's taking off, it begins to travel at 17,000 miles per hour, which is roughly 25 times the sound barrier. It's power, and man made this. Now, I know you're not understanding it all the way just yet because I just threw a lot of raw stats at you. So I came up with two examples. I didn't come up with them. I found them. Two examples of this power that we're talking about to help you visualize this. When the Saturn V rocket takes off, it has the power of 200 F-18 fighter jets strapped together. So if you can find a rubber band that big, y'all, and put it around 200 F-18 fighter jets, that's the power that this rocket has. Here's the second example. Imagine in your mind's eye for just a moment the starting field of cars at the Daytona 500, okay? So just imagine that. Now multiply all that horsepower times 8,000, and that's what you get here. A lot of power, a lot of speed. It's impressive. It's awe-inspiring. But I've got some exciting news for you today. I came on mission, on assignment, that everything I just explained to you, that power, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. Like everything I just described, you can multiply by whatever you wanted to multiply it by, but it is just a drop in the bucket compared to the raw, potent power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give to every single Christ follower listening today. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's for you. It's for you. In this series, let me give you a brief recap for those that are new. In this series, each week we've had an idea, a mission to accomplish. Week one, we talked about our need for the Holy Spirit. And we went from Old Testament all the way to through the New Testament, our need for the Holy Spirit. Week two, we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. And week three last week, we talked about what being baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. And week four, the finale today, we're going to talk about application. So we've got all this information, but how do we apply that to our Monday morning world? And really, hear me, really, in no uncertain terms, the whole series has led to today. It's led to today because we don't just want information on Sundays. We want revelation that leads to transformation. And if the Sunday doesn't change the Monday, then the Sunday didn't count, y'all. So we want to be transformed by God's word, that it would change us, that it would be the difference maker in our lives. I shared last week that being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the number one reason you need this and I need this is because we need power to be a witness, okay? It's important that you get that. There's gifts and all that we'll talk about some more today, but the number one reason is that you would be empowered to tell people about Jesus, that you'd be empowered to live the life God has called you to live, power to be a witness, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, that he's the only one qualified to forgive us of our sins. Amen. That he is the one who sets us free. But I want you to also realize today that there are alternative benefits to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number one reason is power to be a witness, Acts 1:8. But there's also some really good benefits that come along with the Holy Spirit. Some amazing things that you need to be aware of. And really, this is not new. Think about it in general. Anytime you had a powerful experience, there was always benefits that you didn't expect. Think about your life, and maybe you've experienced one of the seven wonders of the world, and you had a powerful moment, and more than likely that led you to glorify and praise God because he made that thing, right? It was an alternative benefit, not just the view, but it conjured up on the inside a sense of awe and worship, and you looked at things a little bit differently after that, and that's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is like. There's some alternative benefits. And keeping with our theme of space travel, it's happened there as well. There's amazing things that scientists and NASA invented for space travel that have benefited us here on Earth as well. It works that way. I wrote down a few that I thought were interesting. Here's some examples of things developed for space travel that help us today. First thing I wrote down was cordless tools. It was for space travel, but I'm sure anybody that works in construction can say, thank you, Lord, that we have that here today. Scratch-resistant glasses. It's originally for space. Helps us today. Fire-resistant fabric. Smoke detectors that are in your apartment and your home. Originally for space travel. Here's the last one. Memory foam. Anybody sleep better because of memory foam in your pillow that you may have, right? Originally for space travel. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit has amazing gifts that he wants to give us, but we cannot forget that it's all for one purpose, to show people Jesus and his love. We've got to remember that. And so today, we've got to have this etched upon our heart and our soul that we don't seek the gifts, we seek the Holy Spirit and he gives the gifts. Got to get that. It's most important. We seek the Holy Spirit and he gives the gift. I want to read to you Ephesians 5:18. You can try to turn there. Maybe you aced Bible quiz like 10 years running and you're like, I'm going to get there every time. That's cool, but I'm going to read it quick. Ephesians 5:18 says this: do not get drunk on wine, which, by the way, that's good advice, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the spirits, what God wants for you. He wants you to literally be filled up to the brim with the Holy Spirit. We're to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to switch gears just for a second here, okay? So bear with me. And I'm going to ask you a seemingly random question, but it will make sense at the end. And here's the question. Does anybody here, just bear with me, does anybody here remember when you got your first credit card? Does anybody remember that? Okay, I figured it'd be a lot of us. Okay. Your first credit card. No, it doesn't make sense now. You're like, I know we're switching gears, but just hang with me. I don't know about you, but for me and for most, it's not just an exciting thing. Like, it's a spiritual moment. You know, you get that first credit card, and, you know, usually you're around 18, 20 or so. And so up until that point in your life, the only thing you ever got in the mail was, like, birthday cards or them trying to sign you up for the military, you know, that kind of deal. And so, like, that was the best piece of mail you've ever gotten in your life. And so you apply, and you get the card, and so they mail you the card, and you open up that envelope. Remember, spiritual moment. It was amazing. You open up that envelope, and it's the best piece of plastic you've ever owned, just right there. And it's got your name on it. You remember that? It's a cool moment. It's got your name on it. And yeah, you had like 25% interest, but still, it was yours. And that's not a good rate, by the way. But you have that, and it's got your name on it. And you knew. You maybe even remember now, but you definitely knew back then. You knew how much that card was worth. You knew that the credit limit that you had on it, and that credit limit probably was more than you had at that time. Like, it's the truth. So you had that card, it had your name on it, and you knew how much it was worth, how much money was attached to it. And so you went to the store, and you got something you probably didn't need, but you wanted to use your card. So you got something, and you go to the cash register, and you don't have cash this time. You got a card. You're like, I'm going to charge this. Put it on my card. It's got my name on it. And you lay down that card, and the cash register, the person there looks at that card. And remember, your name's on it. It belongs to you. But they swipe it, or now they stick it in the chip reader. And after a little while, they say, well, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. The sticker's still on this, and so I can just tell it's not going to work. Just charge it. And so they do it again. It doesn't work. And like, sir, I'm sorry, but this card, it's not working. You're like, no, you don't understand. My name's on that card. I'll prove it to you. It's my license. No, you don't understand. I know how much money's attached. Like, this is my card. And the cash register person's going to look back at you and say, what? Well, excuse me, sir, ma'am, but this card is not activated. Maybe you know where I'm going here. You're like, no, you don't understand. This card's mine. It belongs to me. Came to me in the mail. See, that's my name. I put the middle name on there. I mean, that's my name right there. And it is, sir, you don't understand. It's not activated. Yeah, it belongs to you. Yes, your name's on it. Yes, it has attached this much value, but unless you activate it, it's just a piece of plastic. And that's how it works with the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you something today. Everything you read in the book of Acts, everything you see displayed for the New Testament church, all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, the adventures, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's all yours. It belongs to you. But it's got to be activated. It's got to be activated. It belongs to you. Everything you need, you already have as a Christ follower. You're primed and you're ready, but there's got to be an activation that takes place. Now, there's five times in the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the church as we know it, five times where we see at least one person, usually a group, that was baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. There's five times that we see that in the book of Acts. And we're going to read all five here in just a moment. During three of these five times, as we'll see, the Bible communicates that speaking in tongues, talked about that a little bit last week, that speaking in tongues was the initial sign. Not the only sign, but the initial sign. That's three of the five times we see the Bible clearly communicate that. And we'll read it. So that means that two of the five times the Bible doesn't specifically mention that tongues were the initial evidence. Now you could say, well, maybe you could infer it, and maybe you can. But honestly, whether tongues is the initial sign or not is up for debate. And if we agree or disagree on that, it doesn't really matter, at least in my opinion. That's okay. But regardless, we do know this clearly. that tongues is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We do know that clearly from the Bible. And so before we move on, I believe it's important for me to explain to you quickly four things about tongues biblically. But for whatever reason, this is the gift that gives us the heebie-jeebies, okay? This is the gift that makes us nervous. And that's why if you're brand new or you missed last week, please listen to that message online because I talked about this a lot. But I want to hit four things quickly that we know about tongues biblically, okay? I hit them real fast. The first thing, we see in the Bible that it's a language, not gibberish. It's a language, not gibberish. This is where I'm going to give you some references. You have to look it up. Don't take my word for it. You read it for yourself later. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. It's a language, it's not gibberish. Second thing I need you to know from God's word about tongues, God gives you the language and then you speak it out. You need to know that when you get the gift of tongues, God does not take over your tongue. You do not become a spiritual zombie or a spiritual robot. 1 Corinthians 14:32, I actually read this last week, shows us how we work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. God gives you the language and then you, it's up to you to speak it out. The third thing you need to know from the Bible, not from opinion, from the Bible, it's a language of the Spirit. It's a language of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, and also verses 14 through 15. It's a language of the Spirit. The last thing I need you to know today before we move to the times and acts, when you use your prayer language, it strengthens you personally. I shared last week that I speak in tongues during some of my personal prayer time. And so when I do that, the Bible shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, that it builds me up personally. Those are the things I need you to know. All right. Now I want to quickly look at five times in Acts where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time to give you some biblical precedent. Here's the first time. I'm going to go really fast. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. We'll have this on the screen if you're here in person. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, it's the first time. Second time, Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers. So see there, they were believers, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Here's the third time, Acts chapter 9, verses 17 through 18. This is the launching point of the church as we know it. Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it, placing his hands on Saul. This is the Saul who would become Paul. This is the guy that would write most of the New Testament. Placed his hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul. I don't know if y'all remember if you grew up in church, but we used to call people that all the time. Brother, Brother Ryan, Sister Betty. That's what we used to do. Not saying it should come back, but that's what we used to do. Brother Saul. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Fourth time, Acts chapter 10, next chapter, verses 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. What a cool moment. They didn't have to wait till the altar call. I mean, just right there, just boom. People were receiving. Verse 45, the circumcised believers, thank you God's word for that little description right there. The circumcised believers, we needed that context, who had come with Peter, were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit and how it had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Fifth time, Acts chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 2, and I just think this is so incredible because these are actually the two verses that we started the whole series with, but we're going to add in verse 6, though. But here's what it says. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, he was Saul before who we were talking about, Paul, he took the road through the interior, and he arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Notice that word. Found some disciples, and he asked them, hey, guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they answered this, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And we talked about this in week one, that there's people who are good and they love Jesus and they know they're going to heaven, but they're like, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I'm not really so sure what's going on here. I've seen some weird things happen when I was younger, or some televangelist on TV did some things that I was like, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. And I want you to know today, if that's you, it's okay. You've got friends here. We see this even in the Bible, that there are some people, some disciples that were kind of confused and didn't understand. But here's what happens in verse 6, and I think this is powerful. Those same people had questions, nothing wrong with that. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Remember a few verses before, we don't even know who, there's the Holy Spirit. What is that? He put his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. These were amazing moments for the New Testament church. Amazing, incredible, life-altering moments. And let me say it again, church, hear me. God wants this for you. He wants this for you. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give people an opportunity at the end of the service, and I'll explain that more later on. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God opens you up to all of these amazing gifts that he wants to give you. And the gifts are not to make you look good or make you look super spiritual. The gifts are simply to give you power to be a witness. That's Acts 1:8. You need to know today that I personally believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I think you should too, because it's biblical. It's biblical. At least half of my messages in this series have been reading the Bible to you, because I want you to know that this is a biblical thing, not a Pastor Ryan thing. Now, with saying that, let me say this. I'm teaching today. Let me say this. That was Bible. Let me give you a personal opinion for just a moment. I believe personally that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are dynamic and not static. And if you're taking notes, you can write that down. You can put an asterisk by and say, well, Pastor Ryan believes this. That's cool. It's a personal opinion here. I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are dynamic and not static. Let me explain it to you. I got two little small illustrations here, of course, if you're in the room. The first one is I have a toothbrush. It's a regular toothbrush. It costs about a dollar from H-E-B. Don't y'all just love H-E-B? It costs about a buck. So I got this toothbrush here. Now, this is a regular use toothbrush. Hopefully, we use this every day, right? Hopefully. If you're a parent of young children, or maybe you have grandchildren, or your brother or sister and their family, they have kids and you watch them. If you have any kind of relationship with young kids, you get the struggle. The struggle is real, to try to teach your kids to brush their teeth. Like, it is a struggle. It's like every day, it's, I had no idea, Mom and Dad, you were going to tell me to brush. We do it every day. How is it a surprise to you? But it's a battle. You know, we want our kids to have teeth when they grow up, and so they need to brush every day. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest. Anyways, this is a regular use toothbrush. We're supposed to use it in the morning, use it at night, and hopefully some days in between, right? Like, that's just a good thing. A regular use toothbrush. Now, after you use this one day, like if you're going to use this today, you shouldn't throw it away and buy a new one for the next day. It's not a single use. It's a regular use toothbrush. And here's what I believe personally about spiritual gifts. I believe that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God gives us some gifts that we have all the time. I just personally believe that. That for some people, he just gives us a gift that we have all the time. Like, it's not like you only have it on Mondays. Like, you have it, you know, just every, like, it's a regular use gift. And I don't know if it's the gift of faith for you or gift of healing or whatever it may be, you know, word of knowledge, prophecy, whatever. But I just personally believe that there's some that are regular use we have every single day after we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here's what I also believe. I also believe in single use spiritual gifts. I don't know if you can see from your seat, but this is a Colgate Wisp Max Fresh toothbrush. This is meant for single use. So if I have any hunters or fishermen or fisher ladies too, I don't judge, okay? Like whatever you like to do. Anything that you get out into the wilderness, like away from civilization for a little bit, this is really handy because you don't need water. You don't even need toothpaste. There's a little bead on the inside here, and this is single use. So let me clarify. Do not use this more than once. It's a single use. And I believe personally, my opinion, I could be wrong, but I believe personally that there's some gifts that God gives us for a specific reason and a specific moment. That there's times in our life where maybe we did not have the gift up until then, but in that moment, he's going to give us that gift. I just believe it. So for example, there's some people today, you're sitting down listening, hopefully listening, and you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor Ryan, I wish I had this gift, but I don't. I can almost guarantee there's at least a couple of people thinking that today. Man, I really wish I had the gift of healing. How awesome would that be able to pray for people and they get better? That would be amazing, but I don't have it. And if you're thinking that today, let me maybe change your perception just a bit, just to tweak it. What if you do have the gift of healing, but now is not the time just yet? What if 2 years from now, you're gonna come across somebody who has cancer and the Holy Spirit's gonna speak to your heart, pray for them and they're gonna get better, and you pray for them and they get better in Jesus' name? What if that happened? If that happened, I would say for even those 2 years, you had the gift of healing. It just wasn't activated yet. Wasn't the right time. Wasn't the right moment. And you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor Ryan, if that's true, what do I do in the meantime? Pray for every single person that you come across that's sick. What do I do in the meantime? How do I know? Here's how you know. Pray for every single person that God puts on your heart. It's not our job to heal. God's job to heal, it's our job to pray. He wants us to ask him. So don't sit there and say, well, I just don't have it. I got all the goofy ones, but I don't have that one. That's awesome. I want gift of faith. Everybody wants that. Man, I want that gift, but I don't have it. No. Maybe you do, but there's a certain time or a certain season when it's going to activate. Got to know that. And that's what I believe personally about the gifts. Remember, we don't seek the gift. We seek the Holy Spirit, and he gives the gifts. See, the Bible teaches us, here's another reference, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible teaches us that we should desire all the gifts, especially prophecy. So God's put that in us. So don't sit there and say, well, I don't have it. Desire it, and maybe God will give it to you. The Bible actually gives us several lists of spiritual gifts, because if you're new to church, and I thank God for the people that are getting saved in this house, we've had over 60 people get saved in 6 months. Can somebody testify? You know, one of these days, you're not going to golf clap when I give you numbers like that. You're just going to cheer and celebrate. I'm going to have to, like, calm you down. One of the days is coming, okay? Because I'm going to teach you how to celebrate. Because if I ever went to a party like that, I'm leaving, okay? Because that's a lame party. I'm just saying. We ain't watching Tiger Woods trying to win again, okay? We're watching Jesus change lives, y'all. So we need to get excited about that. It's an amazing thing. And so I thank God for that. I thank God for what he's doing. But we see in God's word several different lists when it comes to spiritual gifts. Because maybe you're wondering, well, what are they? Because you're new to church. Well, what are these gifts? You've talked about a couple of them, but I want to see the list. I want to know. And if that's you, if you're new to this church thing, let me give you 3 different lists, some more references. I warned y'all, okay? But 3 different lists that show us some spiritual gifts that are at our disposal for us to ask God to give to us. First list, it's Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Another list, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, and also 28 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, and verses 28 through 31. Then one more list, and there could be others. There's debate on some of the others, but I'll at least give you a few here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Let me give you another personal opinion for a second. Personal opinion, could be wrong. If you look at all three of those lists, I know there's some debate on some others, and that's cool. But if you look at those three lists I just gave you, they are not exactly the same. They aren't. There's some similarities for sure. But if you read them on your own, and I hope you will, they're not exactly the same. So here's a personal belief. I personally believe that because they're not the same, that those lists are not exhaustive. Just personal belief. I believe there could be even other gifts. There's some other references I didn't give you today that could also be some spiritual gifts. That's a personal opinion. I could be wrong. But if you look at all three of those lists, they are a little bit different. And that's why I believe that. Just personal opinion. But regardless, hitting the home stretch here, regardless, here's what I need you to see today. Please, everybody looking at me. Regardless on personal stances or anything like that, let's go back to the Bible. That's where we really need to land. Let's go back to the Bible. That every single person here today, if you have never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, today could be your day. Today could be your day. And I get it. You're sitting there, you're thinking, well, I'm a little bit nervous about this thing. I mean, I grew up Baptist. I grew up Lutheran. I'm not used to this kind of, I'm a little bit nervous. And if that's you, it's okay to be nervous. I want to let you know as the pastor of this house that nothing weird is about to happen. I've said this every week, so I had to keep my streak going, y'all. The Holy Spirit ain't weird. People are weird. So as the leader of this house, what happens here? Of course, God leading me. But as the leader of this house, nothing weird's going to happen, okay? It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be powerful. And it doesn't have to all be about emotion, okay? It doesn't have to be about emotion. We're going to have a powerful moment if you want it. But if you're sitting here today and you're like, man, this is my third week here. I don't know. Like, I just got saved last week, and I don't know if I'm ready. If that's you, I want to tell you today, it's okay if you feel like you're not ready. It's okay to wait if you feel like you want to. That's completely fine. But I just believe in my heart that there's some people here listening today that you're fed up and tired of struggling in your Christian life. I just believe I'm preaching to some people that you see all of the moments that you've missed it, that you failed, that you were embarrassed to tell people about Jesus, that you backed away, you were timid when God wanted you to step forward with his power and with his might. I just believe I'm preaching to some people today that are fed up with living less than what God has for you. And if that's you, today could be your day. So quickly, as I'm getting ready to close, I'm going to give you three ways, three easy steps to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the culmination of this series. Three easy steps. Number one, jot this down if you're taking notes. Remove all barriers. Remove all barriers. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39 says this. Peter replied, see the transition here. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And what happens next, the transition, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Guess what? We're those people. All that are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The first thing you've got to do today, it's real simple, it's real easy, is you've got to remove the barriers. Let me tell you today that every single person, you are all on a spiritual journey. Now, some of you have been on the journey longer than others. Some are just getting started. You just put your boots on yesterday and you're beginning this journey out. Some of you have been on the journey for years. But no matter where you are on this spiritual journey, the truth is the same for all of us. If we don't remove the barriers in front of us, we won't get any farther. If we don't remove the obstacles, we can't go any further. And I got to tell you today, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God, He has more for you. He has more for you. You got to remove the barriers. Number two, request the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how God works. He wants you to ask Him. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Second step is you've got to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the last step. It's easy. It's not complicated. It's not crazy. It's not confusing. It's simple. Receive Him by faith. Receive Him by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And I know today that this is the hardest part for many of us, because we like the head knowledge, we like the logic, but if we could, we'd push the faith element to the side. That's not how God works. You can have the biggest brain of Bible knowledge in the room, but you still have to have faith. You gotta have faith. So you remove the barriers, you request the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you've got to remember that you receive Him by faith. It's a faith walk. Last verse I'm going to show you before we pray. You guys can put this on the screen. 2 Corinthians. This is the Message paraphrase. Same Bible, just different translation. This is actually a paraphrase of it. Here's my prayer for you. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. That's my prayer for you. Would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes? God, I pray for this great church that You're building. I pray, number one, that every single person underneath the sound of my voice would understand the grace, Your great grace, amazing grace that You have for each of us. I pray, God, that every single person tuning in would know the extravagant love that You have for them. The love that covers a multitude of sins. And I pray also, God, that they would know the intimate, close friendship of the Holy Spirit. With eyes closed, heads bowed, maybe somebody's here today and you're that person I was talking about a moment ago, that you're just trying to get your gear together on your spiritual journey. You haven't really even taken a step yet, but you're here and you've heard the word and there's a stirring on the inside of you. But if you were honest, you haven't even taken that first step yet. And that first step is receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And quite honestly, it's the only prerequisite to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to be saved. Before we think about all those steps, you got to think about the first step, though. And that's giving your life over to Jesus. So I don't know if there's anybody. There usually is each week, but if there's not, that's okay. But I want to give the opportunity. If there's anybody here, you look at your life and it's obvious that your sin, your mistakes, they've separated you from God. If that's you today and you want to make a change, you want to take the first step in this journey, you want to give your life to the Lord. If that's you, you've never done it, or maybe it's been a long time and there's been some things that have happened, some things you've done that you want to get things right again. If that's you, with no one looking but me, please, would you raise your hand? I see that hand. Anybody else? You put it down. Anybody else? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Please, no one looking but me. honoring this holy moment. If you're listening online, just respond right where you are. Jesus sees you. Here's what we're going to do. Heads bowed with eyes closed. I'm going to ask those that raised their hand in this room and those that may be in your heart listening later on, you raised your hand. I'm going to ask each of you to say a prayer after me. It's a prayer of surrender to Jesus. It's a prayer that puts your faith and trust in Him and what He's done for you on the cross. But the good news is, I'm not going to ask you to say that prayer alone. There's going to be people around you in this room, the body of Christ, Christ's followers, that are going to say this prayer with you out loud in support. You're not alone in this journey. You're not alone. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Everybody that raised their hand and all the Christ followers in support, repeat this after me. Say this, dear Jesus, I thank you for loving me so much that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead so that I could be forgiven of every sin, of every mistake. Today, I put my trust, my hope in you. Make me new. And Jesus, I will do my best to live my life from this day forward for you. Have your way in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able to, would you quietly stand to your feet, please? As quickly as you can for time's sake. Here's how I'm going to close this service out. Now, please, I pray that you listen to my instructions. It's a very important moment. I would be amiss. Please, everybody looking at me. I know you got to gather your belongings, but please looking at me. I'd be amiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's how we're going to do this. I believe in a calm, protected environment that's not for show. So here's how we're going to do this. For those of you that want to stay, and it could be one, it could be 20, I have no clue, and honestly, it's between you and the Lord. I'm ready to pray for you if you want prayer. But as I get ready to dismiss, and I'm just seconds away, if you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to come to the front and stand across. Myself and a few of us, we're going to pray for you, but I'm going to lead the way in that. Everyone else, I'm going to ask you to quietly, please hear my instruction, to quietly be dismissed into the lobby in the fellowship hall, and we're going to shut the doors. Is everybody clear on that? I want a calm, protected environment. It's not for show. A powerful, beautiful display. So please, you can hang around and fellowship. You can talk. You can do all that. But please, move as quickly as you can into the lobby or into the fellowship hall. But everybody else, we'll stay as long as you'd like. And we're going to believe that God's going to do something amazing. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed quietly, please. If you want prayer, we're here.